This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it's the day we have Curtis Hoffmeister and his alter ego, Robert Benoit, in studio today talking about a universe of werewolves and vampires. And Kurt, thanks for being part of our show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'll tell you,
thrilled to be here.
The most fascinating thing, and I've been telling people for a month, I am unabashedly a great fan of this series of books. I've read them all, thanks to our friend of the show, Kathy Kellenberger, who said, you should read this guy's book. It is interesting. And it was called Shrouded in Night. And honestly, I downloaded it for free from Amazon. I read about the first, 200 words, and I was hooked. And I'm on book four, and life is going good. I like the vampires. I like the werewolves. And what I wanted to ask, first question out of my mouth to you, Kurt, is how did it turn into a series about werewolves and vampires in St. Louis? I'm just curious. How did that come about?
You know, I've always liked vampire fiction, werewolf fiction. I always thought, you know, but my dad was a St. Louis City police officer, career policeman.
Okay.
And I've always been interested in law enforcement and, you know, cop books. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be kind of cool to put those two things together and come up with what I call cop books with fur and fangs?
That's true. That's very true. How on earth, you've got a werewolf named Robert Benoit, who was a policeman who was bitten by a werewolf, unnecessarily by choice turned into a werewolf, and yet here's a guy who's makes the best of it. He's really heroic. How did this all come about? I mean, how did you come up with this character?
You know, I've always been interested in, well, I like superheroes, you know.
Okay.
I mean, and instead of wearing spandex, this guy wears fur.
He does. He most certainly does. Now, how did you make so many werewolf vampire books? They're either classical, mm-hmm, by date and circumstance and location, or they're dystopic. They're really so far out in the future,
right,
into this worthless, lost world.
Mm-hmm.
And here you've done it in very simple, straightforward, regular, mundane St. Louis County. And it's got werewolves and vampires living amongst humans.
Exactly. I really get tired of post-apocalyptic fiction in general. It's just, there's so much of that and so depressing. And I just couldn't do that, you know, anymore. You know, it's just like when I was writing, I wanted a hero, a collection of heroes, really, that the average person could relate to, and they could see how if this befell them, maybe they'd react a little bit the same way. Maybe this is how real people would handle these kind of challenges in their life.
Now, you've got characters that are werewolves who, in this universe, werewolves, for the most part, pretty good guys, good people. You've got vampires, which could be good, could be sinister, you know. You got one that kind of lords over the other. You've got one that's very, very much cautious about being around the other. I love the fact that you have Desiree,
mm-hmm,
our favorite lovely vampire, who kind of looks over this werewolf, Robert Benoit, that we care about so much. When we get into these characters, when you first started thinking about how this was going to happen, did you have this intertwining personality clashes? Did you have these relationship dynamics going, or have they evolved to you as the writer, just like
they
do
totally
to us
evolved
as the reader?
Yeah, they've totally evolved. When I started writing it, Robert Benoit's mate, his werewolf mate, Felicia de la Rosa, you're not supposed to like her. In fact, you're not supposed to like her throughout the first three books of the series. It's not really until the book four, the one you're reading, you know, that just came out, Veiled in Black, that you start to see Felicia softening up a little bit. And, you know, she tried to change Benoit, but she's the one being changed. He's kind of making her more normal.
True. Now, when you, that brings up a good point. When you write a novel, now you've written several. You've written several of the Robert Benoit books, four. You have some novellas with some ancillary characters on the side. When you started to write a novel, do you do an outline? Do you write kind of spur of the moment? Do you let the story take you?
Very spur of the moment. It's very character driven. I have a general idea where I want to go, but getting from point A to point B, it's kind of whatever the characters take over. There's times where I want them to go left and they go right. I just have to go along for the ride. The characters take over. They tell me what has to happen. And sometimes it's not always really what I want them to do, but that's what they do.
One of the things that I've noticed, and the last question I want to ask you in this segment, I think this is probably a question that you might go to sleep at night trying to answer. Do your characters ever surprise you?
Absolutely.
They do.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And there's some short stories which you haven't seen yet, haven't been released yet, with Desiree, mostly historical things, where Desiree is constantly has an ulterior motive that I'm not expecting, or a different strategy, a different way. And I'll sit back and think, Desi, what are you doing here? You know, where are you going with this? And then all of a sudden it'll come to me what she's doing. Well, clearly this is left brain, right brain, not communicating, you know, through the right. But that's where the creativity comes into.
That's fascinating. Last thing, this segment. When you get done writing, say you've written this mm-hmm. first novel, and you've probably spent, no doubt, hundreds of hours. It's 150,000 plus words. You've edited it yourself. You've gone over it and read it. Have you ever read it for fun? Or do you know it by heart by the time you're done?
Because the novels all are averaging just under 120,000 words. So there's a lot to them. But there are times where I'll read maybe a chapter or a scene because I'm editing. I have to reread. And maybe I haven't read in a while. And I'll kind of laugh and I'll think, oh, I forgot I wrote that.
Okay. Our guest is Kurt Hoffmeister, author from St. Louis, and we'll talk next segment about the other career that goes on as well as being an author. Kurt Hoffmeister, the author of the Robert Benoit series. Book one you can download from Amazon for your Kindle, or you can order it and download Kindle and put it on your smartphone or your tablet. The book is Shrouded in Night, and some exciting news about it when we come back on our next segment. Our guest is Curtis Hoffmeister, the author of the Robert Benoit series, Vampires and Werewolves. I always say vampires first for whatever reason, but in essence, it's a werewolf story with those darn vampires always getting in the way, right?
Yeah, correct.
So Robert Benoit is this police detective. He gets bitten trying to save the life of his fiance.
He and his fiance are on a camping. Then this backstory, but they're on a camping trip, and he's bitten. His fiance is killed. He wasn't meant to survive, but he did. Because you know, if you're bitten by a werewolf, you're infected, and you become a werewolf yourself if you survive. And unfortunately, the county police at that time weren't real happy about having a werewolf police officer, so they found an excuse to fire him, and then pretty much regretted that decision later.
Yes,
when a serial murder spree happens that they cannot handle. So luckily, his old boss is a detective with a little more enlightened mind, and he brings Benoit in as a civilian contractor to help the police, and it sticks. And over the course of four books, that's pretty much what he is doing, is working with the police, helping them solve crimes that involve supernatural beings.
And that is so fascinating, because when he is bitten and he's back as a consultant, some are glad, some are not glad, but the ones who are really glad because he's helped them as much as he has, they're close. It's such a fascinating story, and I got to stop being a fanboy and ask the right questions here, so I will. Obviously, some research is easier because you mentioned your dad was a policeman in St. Mm-hmm. Louis, so a lot of that technology and all of the things you understand and the hierarchy there. But when you talked about Desiree and the Behind the Veil book, which I want to talk about for a minute, that is a story where Desiree, our favorite vampire, has been alive for a lot of years, hundreds of years. So we're 300. Going 300 years. So this part, this book, goes back and talks about the Ottoman Empire and the French Revolution. Tell me about how that came about.
Well, I kept making little references to Desiree's past. You know, she'll mention having known Benjamin Franklin or Josephine Bonaparte, you know, Mark Twain, having met or known these people, being friends with Benjamin Franklin. So I thought, well, how did that work? You know, so I read four books about Josephine Bonaparte and her life, just to, and I'd also looked into Amy DeRivery, who was a cousin of Josephine Bonaparte when they were young girls on the island of Martinique. And it led to a pair of stories. One was a short story called Behind the Veil of an Odalisque, and that is set in the Ottoman Empire in the year 1811. That was my first ever published paid short story. I made 50 whole bucks for it. But I also had another longer story, shorter than a novel, but longer than a short story, so we call it a novella. And the two fit together very well, and they explain some of the things that, some of the backstory maybe of Desiree's long life and some of the adventures she's been through. And the writing style is very different when I write through Desiree's eyes as opposed to Robert Benoit. Mm-hmm. Benoit is a very middle class, average kind of guy. You know, he's very meat and potatoes. He's not a fancy person. He's just a regular guy. Desiree is very frilly and very romantic, and it's definitely a more flowery style of writing I had to adopt. But when I released Veiled in Black, the fourth novel in the Benoit series, I realized there was some backstory that some folks might want to know about Desiree. And so I put these two stories that happened sequentially, kind of put them together and made a novella out of it. And it's on the Amazon Kindle bookstore for your device for, you know, $2, $1.99.
That's great. Now, the first book of the series, Shrouded in Night, like I said, I got hooked on it because I found this freebie that Kathy said, go download and read this book, you'll like it. So here is Shrouded in Night on Amazon Kindle download, free. So I download it for free. Now, I was lucky. What about anybody else? They got to pay for it, right?
Well, starting tomorrow and for the next 5 days, Shrouded in Night will be free again.
Really?
Right. So you can download it from the Amazon Kindle store. You can get the the Kindle reading app for practically any device other than a Nook. Pretty much.
Okay. Other than a Nook.
Pretty much that's about the one that you can't get it for. But most, you know, you have a smartphone, an iPhone, an iPad, a Windows laptop, an Android phone. You can get there's versions. Just make sure you go to the Amazon.com website and don't do like one of my friend writers tried to download it from some other site and got a virus. So make sure you go to Amazon.com
right.
And get the real program so you don't get a virus on your device and mess yourself up. But there's so many books. I just love that format, and that's why I chose that for my novel series and all the short stories and other things that are out there and that are yet to come.
So Shrouded in Night for the next 5 days
next five
is
days.
Free.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell you, folks, if you got time, and you start reading this book and you like vampires and werewolves, you may read it and have it done and be on to the next book before those 5 days are up. That's how this is. So, yeah, okay, I'm a fanboy again.
And that'll start tomorrow.
It starts tomorrow, okay. So when you get up in the morning, you can download it. All right. Now, let me ask, Kurt, how does your full-time schedule as a hospital pharmacist, how does that infringe upon your writing time, and how does it help or hinder your writing process?
Well, that's actually a great question because it does both. I'm a healthcare professional. I do hospital pharmacy. I do infusion pharmacy and chemotherapy. Prior to this part of my career, I did retail pharmacy for 30 years. So I've got a lot of responsibility there. But the good thing is, if you'll notice when you're reading the Robert Benoist series, there's some little pseudoscience things in there that you might have noticed at certain times. The scientific way of explaining how could these creatures exist? How could different things? Why would silver kill werewolves? Well, I try to, you know, come up with some fictional, but I make it sound like science.
We've always, you know, in every story about werewolves that we've read, I guess we can thank RKO and Universal Pictures for this.
Correct.
We know that a silver-headed cane can bash a werewolf's head in. We know that a silver bullet will kill a werewolf. We know that because of that movie. So you kept that.
Kept that.
But you described why it worked that way. That's fascinating. That's good. Because they never did in the movies. You know, that's something.
I love the science, to work a little bit of that science into a lot. I don't beat the reader over the head with it, but there's a little something like that in every book.
Yeah. You know, in some of the books. And, of course, I got to tell you, there's a lot of gun battles. There's a lot of serious hand-to-hand fighting in these books. If you're a guy, you'll like the action. If you're a girl, you'll like the romance. I mean, it's all there. And if you're a guy, you'll like the romance because they are somewhat erotic. I got to say that, too.
They are. These are adult novels.
These are
not young adult novels by any stretch. This is not Twilight.
No, that's true. But the best part about it is you are consistently true to the code of ethics that the werewolf pack lives by. You are consistent with the dastardly nature of the vampires and what they do. And you work them into a human. We're in St. Louis, we're in West County, we're in essentially this time period, and you've got werewolves and vampires running around. And that still impresses the heck out of me how you're able to pull that off.
One of the places to start, and I'm not certainly not the first person to do this. A lot of authors have done this in recent years. But the idea is, how could you keep vampires and werewolves or anything supernatural creature, how could you keep that secret? Everyone's got a smartphone now.
Sure.
Everyone's got a computer. You know, we have 24/7 news. There's no way it could be secret. And even before technology, people talk. There was newspapers. You know, the idea of werewolves or vampires or any other supernatural, preternatural creature, there's no way it could be kept secret. So you would know that these beings existed, and they would be your neighbors, and you might work with one, and you might like it or you might not. You might have prejudices. You might have noticed that there's certain references to prejudice against the supernatural beings, especially the werewolves seem to deal with that a lot. The vampires don't particularly seem to care.
Right.
You know, but the werewolves do. You know, they're trying to get along in normal society. I set out a rule to where they would have to change fully into a wolf on the first night of the full moon, just because, well, like the silver bullets, it's there from the movies.
It's there. Right.
So let's just go with that. But let's say that they can shape change really anytime they want. During the rest of the time, they can change a little, they can change a lot, they can go all the way to four legs or stay on two, and but they have control over that, except on that first night of the full moon.
Yeah. You have killed off a lovable character or two too soon, in my mind. But that's okay. That's your prerogative, and I know you did it on purpose, and that's all right, because your reader has to feel a little bit of pain. when he reads a book that he loves,
right?
Are you
talking about Juan Carlos?
I'm talking about Juan Carlos, yes.
And my mom was upset with that.
Is that right?
Yeah, mom was upset when I killed off Juan Carlos.
Well, you know, and you turn some humans into vampires maybe a little sooner than I wish you would have, but it was the right time. It worked out good. Now, here's what really got me about the first book, and you've carried this through all the way, and this is what I think separates the books you've written versus any other ones that I've read. Within the first few pages, you're mentioning the Post-Dispatch, which has a reporter who covers supernatural crimes. Mm-hmm. You're talking about locations and restaurants that we're all familiar with. That, I think, is what hooked me most, because I was familiar with every location, every bit of media that you talked about in there. And that's what I really love, the fact that you brought all that together and made that part of this universe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. That's terrific. Did you make it a concentrated effort to do it? Did you say when I started writing these series that I am going to make people know what I'm writing about? Rather than, you didn't make this series in Transylvania. It's not off in Pennsylvania in fictional towns or all over Maine, you know.
Right.
You're here, which is what you know about,
you know,
I guess.
Your best writing is your own backyard, which you're familiar with. In Veiled in Black, I was thinking about taking my cast of crazy characters to Romania. I've never been to Romania, but you know where I have been? I've been to Venice.
Okay.
And I thought, yeah, I spent some time in Venice. I like Venice. Let's go to Venice.
Fair enough. Why not?
And I think the next book, or one of the next books, my wife and I were just planning a trip for our 35th anniversary to Germany. Well, I think we'll set part of one in Germany.
Well, that'll work too. But they've been there. You know, if you want to go to Europe, I mean, I'm sure they've wandered all over Europe. It's fascinating to me how you make your characters so like the readers. I mean, like I said to you one time, they can be plotting to kill vampires in one paragraph, and the next paragraph they're arguing over ground custom coffee versus a K-cup and a Keurig, and one's as good as the other, and no, it's not. I mean, you make the characters so human.
That's how I design my characters. I try to ground them in reality and give each one their own set of likes and dislikes, their own pet phrases that they say. I try to make them seem more real to the reader by giving them real life characteristics. And it doesn't matter if they have fangs or not. They're still people, so they're still going to like, you know, certain things and dislike other things. Robert Benoit hates 9mm caliber handguns. Well, guess what? I was down in Pocahontas shooting this morning. 9mm.
That's true. You talked about your love of guns and your particular choices, and that's another thing that's in there a lot, you know, is firepower. That's there an awful lot. When we come back and talk in our next segment, one of the things that I want to talk to you about is I'd like to talk to you just a bit about how we're going to continue. What's coming up in the series and what other characters are going to be introduced maybe. So we'll come back and talk about that in just a few moments. Well, our interview guest today is Curtis Hoffmeister. We're talking about werewolves and vampires in a series of Robert Benoit novels, headquartered, centered in St. Louis, and we've just been having fun talking about really some great stories. Now, one of the things I want to mention is that in a few days, it'll probably be Monday, in case you missed part of this or you want to say, man, I wish you'd heard that. The interview with Curtis, as well as our Taylor Pensino and Bill Morgan interviews, they'll be up online on WSMIRadio.com under our special interviews link. So you'll be able to hear that probably after Monday if you want to listen to it again or tell somebody about it. Also, coming up, in addition to the four books that are out right now, Kurt, I want to ask you, what's the future? We mentioned some of the ancillary things. Robert Benoit cannot be done. There's got to be more. You know, he's a young man. There's surely more adventures.
Well, I've got the next book title in mind. I think we're going to call it Draped in Dusk. I'm not really sure a timetable. Might take me a year and a half to write it.
Is the story formulating in your mind already?
In fact, I came up with a subplot and a character the other day, and I know who the ultimate villain is going to be, who's really been behind the scenes making life a little bit miserable at times for Robert Benoit and Desiree Le Gallienne. It's going to be a vampire antagonist that they're going to have to deal with, and so that's going to have to happen, if not in the next book. Well, probably in the next book. That's where I'm looking. But I've also got some. I always like to have more than one plot to every book. You know, there's always a few subplots, a few little different related storylines that wind through. And what I'm looking at right now is I've already come up with one of those characters. So there's going to be some fun things to do with Benoit and his mate Felicia de la Rosa.
Robert likes cars. Felicia likes cars. Yep. Do you like cars, Kurt?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious. You know, Felicia's got quite a fleet in her house.
It's nice
in her
to
garage.
Have a rich girlfriend.
It certainly is. And Robert, of course, lost his Mustang, wasn't
it? Yes,
lost
his beloved Mustang.
Yes. So maybe you're going to give him maybe a... Well, you can't give him a Lamborghini. He's not big enough to haul his guns in. You got to give him something American, I guess. But
I think he's more of a muscle car kind of guy, don't you? Really?
Most definitely. So tell me, in the future, we know we've got another book. We know we're going to maybe do a Kimberly book later on down the line.
I'm thinking Kimberly Hawkins, Detective Hawkins. She deserves her own book at some point.
How do you determine which of your characters dies? Does that just evolve too?
It very much does. In Veiled in Black, I spent an entire chapter building up a nice relationship with a sweet little character that just killed her right off. You have to shock the audience once in a while, and you have to shock yourself once in a while to progress the story. You have to have enough bad things happen to where your character will be simply outraged and will have to right this wrong, and there is no other course of action. Even if it means all kind of personal peril, you have to right this wrong, and that was one of the ones that had to be addressed.
Off the wall, when you were fashioning Robert Benoit out of your mind, did Lon Chaney's Larry Talbot pop into your mind at all? I mean, this heroic character who was so maligned and, you know, did that happen at all?
No, not really. There's a character that's mentioned who gets injured, one of his pack members, in book three, Wrapped in Shadow. My mom thought it was funny. She says, "Yeah, you named one of the characters Lonnie." I says, "Yeah, it's Lonnie. He doesn't like to be called Lon. Only Lonnie.
Only Lonnie. That's right. That's true. That's very true. Robert Benoit is not only a police consultant, not only a former police detective, but he is also the alpha male of a group of werewolves that he is in charge of, and they look up
the
to
pack.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that code that they live by is very fascinating.
I thought that there should be some sort of code, as you say, code of conduct. They call it the law, and it's law with a capital L, and it's the honorable way for a werewolf to behave. And when Benoit comes into this pack, he's coming in the very first book, he is investigating this group, looking for, because he knows some of the members are involved in a crime spree. And he infiltrates this pack just as part of his role of acting for the police. But by the end of the book, he's sort of become the new alpha male, the leader of the thing, and his mate Felicia de la Rosa is is someone who he just starts out with, quite frankly, just a beautiful woman who at first he thought was probably a criminal, but she turns out to be someone he, against all odds, falls in love with.
Yeah. And when Robert Benoit goes in and to the pack, he winds up fighting the alpha male in charge and then becomes the new one. So it's really very much it's Wild West. It's mafia. It's all those things that make reading fun is what this series of books is. And I'm speaking for me. That's all I'm saying. And if you like to read and you like to read a great story, this series of books are great stories. Kurt, one of the things, the last thing I want to talk about before we wrap up this hour, and boy, it's gone by way too fast for me, and if anybody, I apologize if I've talked too much because I've loved every bit of it. The last thing I want to talk about is the characters are so entrenched into the story, and the story wraps so much around the characters. I can only imagine that as time goes by, Desiree, Robert Benoit, Felicia, are they going to grow old? Are they going to die a fiery death? Do you see an end at some point?
Oh, I haven't thought that far ahead. Yeah, at some point, you know, I'll either get tired of writing the characters, or I'll run out of fresh ideas. And there's a time when you just want to say, "And they lived happily ever after," and let it go.
Because, oh, yeah. I'm sorry, that's another option. I forgot about that.
There are authors who will run their series to death, and just you can tell, yeah, this should have ended 5 books ago, you know, and I don't want to do that. I want to stop while it's still fresh and interesting, you know. But I do have some plans. Unfortunately, sometimes the characters take over and say, yeah, we're not doing that. We're doing this. So, you know, keeping that in mind, that I don't always have full control over my own books.
Starting tomorrow, 5 days, Shrouded in Night, the first book of the series is available for free from Amazon.com. Download it to your Kindle or download it to your Kindle Fire or download it to your Kindle app on whatever smartphone or tablet or laptop that you have. Last question, if they made a movie tomorrow and they said you're going to be executive producer with full casting privileges, tell me, who's the main characters? Who's playing them?
Oh, boy. That would be first of all, you never get that control.
Not true.
As soon as you sign over the rights, they give you a little bit of money, and you sign over the rights. And then if they decide to actually make the movie, then they give you more money, and you're pretty much at that point told, as an author, take a hike.
Yeah.
Anne Rice was not entirely happy during the shooting of some of the movies made based on her books. Laurel K. Hamilton from St. Louis, you know, just has said for years she was afraid what Hollywood would do to her babies, meaning her characters. You don't have any real control. So if they make that movie, it won't be up to me.
Okay, and you don't have a preference. You haven't laid in bed at night and said,
I've thought about it, but you know, years ago when I first started conceiving these characters and writing, because I've been writing for quite a long time, even though they haven't been on the market that long. I've been writing. I think the first published story featuring Desiree was 2004, I believe, or 2005, and Robert Benoit and Kim Hawkins, they saw action right around 2004 for the first time, you know, printed.
Okay.
So I've been with these characters a long, long time. And, you know, I remember one time thinking, oh, Felicia, who could play Felicia? And I thought, you know, maybe Catherine Zeta-Jones. But then she got older, but the characters didn't.
That's true, true. That's so true. Well, as long as it's not Sean Penn, because I just don't think he'd make a good Robert
I don't think
Benoit.
So either.
Curtis Hoffmeister, our guest today. Thank you, Kurt, for being here. Thanks for sharing with our readers and allowing me the opportunity to express how much I enjoy these 4 books and more to come. Shrouded in Night, all the way through Veiled in Black. the Robert Benoist series available on Kindle. Shrouded in Night available for free tomorrow for 5 days. Download it, start reading it, and you'll be hooked. Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you.